I have seen. I saw the gentleman sitting next to you on the plane. If he had had a couple more drinks, he was ready to become religious. So this is what takes... And why does this happen? And we're laughing and we're kind of like... We're familiar with all of this. This is because this world, with every element of it, is a reflection of Krishna's world, of the spiritual world. But we are much more familiar with this world. So much so that we don't even think that there's an alternative to this world. And we go about our daily life as if it's reality. And the problem with that is that we have to take on all the suffering and inconveniences that go along with living in this world. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out that it's natural to be happy. It's the nature and characteristic of the soul, sat, chit, and ananda. But when that ananda is transferred from the spiritual world and it comes down into the material world, this sat, chit, and ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss, they are converted into the three modes of material nature. And the sat becomes goodness, the chit becomes passion, and the ananda becomes ignorance. And we've all heard the saying, ignorance is bliss. It's true. But we want to go the other way. We want to go up and have the bliss without the ignorance. So, tonight, since everyone's in such a happy mood and they're so surcharged with the holy names, I thought I would read you three little excerpts about Krishna's childhood, babyhood pastimes. Now, these excerpts, they're a little bit like, well, if you were in Braj, I'd have to say, I had it written down here, snapshots. That means, a snapshot is... just like that. And you see a picture. Here's a picture of my son when he was two. Here's a picture of my son when he's five. In Vrindavan, because there's so much Krishna, 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 either under the surface or very visible in Vrindavan, so these little pastimes seem like snapshots. Here in Australia, of course we're in New Nandagram, they're more like little videos. They carry more weight because the atmosphere around us is absent of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But we're not. I can see everybody here is full of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So we will share with you these three little videos of Krishna and his child babyhood pastimes. Baby and childhood. Yasoda felt that she had attained the ultimate fulfillment of all desires by having Krishna as her son. Gazing at his beautiful lotus face pleased her more than pleasure itself. Sometimes Yasoda held Krishna close to her breast, and at other times Nanda carried him around on his shoulders. Although Krishna is beyond the force of time or the rules and regulations of this world, by his free choice, when he appears here in this world, he follows the laws that govern human beings. So when Krishna appears, as we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he appears to take birth, he appears to be a baby, he appears to grow up, and he performs so many pastimes in this order, because of course this is very easy for us to relate to, because we also experience the same phenomena. At this time, Krishna crawled around in Nanda's courtyard, and hearing the tinkling of his own waist bells, he would stop moving and look around in surprise. Turning, he glanced curiously over his shoulder. Seeing this childhood play, this childish play of Krishna, filled Yasoda's heart with inconceivable joy. Now he's crawling across the room, and one day Krishna eventually came to the door leading outside. Birds sat on the arches over the jewel-inlaid doorway. Seeing the birds reflected in the jewels, Krishna tried to touch them with his soft reddish hands that resemble the pink color of the sky at dawn. The elderly gopis relished these simple yet sublime pastimes. Sometimes the elderly gopis joked with Krishna, and affectionately they asked him, they said, "Lala, point to your face. Point to your ear. Where are your eyes?" Krishna answered by touching these parts with his small, delicate leaf-like fingers. The ladies continued, "Krishna, show us your teeth." Krishna put his lotus hand to his mouth and, smiling, he said, "My teeth have not yet come." The wife of Upananda asked Krishna, "Krishna, who is your father and who is your mother? Please tell us." Again, beaming, Krishna pointed towards Yasoda, and then he pointed towards Nanda Baba with his leaf-like hand. The Raja Gopis became filled with bliss to see this. Then a nurse, brimming with maternal affection, tested Krishna's speaking ability. She said, "Can you say the names of your parents?" Then, to everyone's amazement, baby Krishna transgressed the rules of Sanskrit grammar by combining the first syllable of the word ma and the first syllable of the second syllable of the word tata together, and said mata, mata, mata again and again. Sometime later, Krishna crawled into a room full with gems and jewels, and he became afraid upon seeing his own reflection in the jewels. In his enchantment, he tried to erase the reflection with his hand, but he could not remove the image at all. And then, overcome with fear, he ran and climbed on Yasoda's lap in order to escape. Then, when Krishna tried to stand up and take a few steps on his own, he fell on his bottom, and he looked up unhappily, and then he began crying for a moment. To encourage him, Yasoda held Krishna's finger and walked with him. Then that lotus face that had previously wilted from crying blossomed with a bright smile. Thus Krishna brought joy to Yasoda with his moon-like face, which bathed his body in the nectar of gentle beauty. In so many ways, the village ladies joked with Krishna. One elderly gopi said, "O beloved Krishna, if you will dance for me, I will give you some soft, sweet butter." Then Krishna danced with delight And he moved for the pleasure of Yasoda and the gopis by gracefully moving his legs and gesturing artfully with his hands. Then Yasoda affectionately dressed Krishna with exquisitely fine, beautiful yellow silk that complemented his beautiful waist. But unaccustomed to such opulent dress, because Krishna would crawl around naked, he felt bothered by it, and he tried to remove it while frowning and crying. Once the housewives of Vrindavan sat in a lonely place, braiding Yasoda's hair and decorating her with her favorite jewelry. When restless, naughty Krishna snatched the ornaments from her body and tried to put them on again in the wrong places. Then, thus Krishna, with a splendid necklace hanging from his chest, gradually completed his crawling pastimes, watching the babyhood of their beloved son immersed Nanda and Yasoda in an ocean of happiness. Now, Krishna is continuing to grow, and he's continuing to become more and more naughty. Krishna's pastimes of crawling about and drinking his mother's breast milk gradually stopped. Soon he could walk around on his own two lotus feet, and he began to steal butter. Is there anyone who did not feel unlimited bliss when the Lord, who is the source of bliss, enacted his childhood pastimes? One day, when no one was looking, Krishna began his pastime of stealing fresh butter. But startled upon seeing his own reflection in a jewel-inlaid pillar, he shivered in fear and said, "Oh, brother, don't tell mother. I will save some butter for you, and you can enjoy some too." Watching her mischievous son from a hidden place, Yasoda heard these sweet broken words with great relish. Then she innocently appeared before her son. Pointing to his effulgent reflection, Krishna said, "Oh Ma, being very greedy, this boy, he came here today in order to steal butter. Although I forbade him, he did not listen to me. And when I got angry with him, he also got angry. But I am not greedy for butter." Once, when Yasoda was outside the house, engaged in some domestic activities, inside the house, Krishna stole butter again. Yasoda returned and she called out, "Oh, my darling son, where are you and what are you doing?" Hearing her coming, Krishna became very afraid and he stopped stealing the butter and he paused for a moment and he answered, "Mother, mother, mother, my hand, my hand. My hand started burning from the shining effulgence of the ruby bangles. So I stuck my burning hand in this pot to relieve the pain. Pleased by her son's clever words, Yasoda replied, "Hey, Vatsa, come here. Come and sit on my lap." So he sat on her lap and she said, Oh, my darling, show me the burns on your hand. Then Yasoda kissed Krishna's hand and consoled him by saying, Oh, Lala, look, your hand has been burnt. Let me remove these ruby bangles. In the evening, as the soothing rays of the moon illuminated the courtyard of Nanda's house, Yasoda sat talking with some elderly gopis while Krishna was just playing nearby and gazing at the beautiful moon. Then sneaking up behind Yasoda, he pulled off her veil from her head and he loosened her braid. Any mother knows about these things that children do when they want your attention. He loosened her braid and he patted her on the back to get her attention with his soft lotus palms. His voice was choked up and he constantly cried and cried and cried, and Yasoda's heart swelled with maternal affection. So she indicated with a glance that one of her friends should attend to Krishna. With great respect and affection, that gopi picked up Krishna, lifted him up and asked him enthusiastically, "Oh, darling, what do you want? Do you want some kheer?" Krishna said, "No, no, no, no. Do you want some thick, creamy yogurt?" "No, no," Krishna replied. "Do you want some cheese?" Again, Krishna said, "No, no, no. I want freshly churned, condensed butter." "What do you mean by condensed butter?" Pointing with his index finger at the moon, Krishna said, "I want that freshly churned, condensed butter." The elderly gopi started to laugh and said, "Oh, Vatsa, do not make a mistake. The moon is not a huge piece of butter. Actually, it is a Raja Hamsa gliding across the lake of the sky." Krishna said, "Then give me that Raja Hamsa. I want that swan so I can play with him. Quickly! Catch him before he reaches the bank of the lake." Saying this, and full of anxiety, Krishna fell on the ground and kicked his legs and cried loudly, "Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me." When Krishna showed this childhood behavior, some of the other gopis said, "Oh, darling, they have lied to you. What they said was a Raja Hamsa or a royal swan. It is just the moon hanging in the sky. It is called Chandra." "Then give me that Chandra. I want it. I want to play with it. Right now, get it. Give it to me." Yasoda placed her crying son on her lap and she comforted him. "Darling," she said, "it is not freshly churned condensed butter, and definitely it is not a Raja Hamsa. Nor is it the moon. Regardless, I can never give it to you. Just see, look, by chance or by arrangement, it has poisonous spots all over it. Although it looks very tasty, No one in the world will eat it. Krishna said, Mother, why has it got spots of poison? And what is poison? Seeing a change in Krishna's mood, Yasoda embraced him very tightly, and she spoke in a gentle, sweet voice, and she said, Listen attentively, my dearest son. There is an ocean of milk called Kheer Sagar. Krishna, Mother, tell me about that ocean. How many cows made that ocean of milk? Yasoda said, Darling, the milk ocean was not made by cows. Krishna, Ma, you're lying to me. How can there be any milk without cows? Yasoda, the one who gave the cows their ability to make milk also made milk without cows. Krishna, who is he? Yasoda, he is the Lord of all creation. He's called Bhagavan. And although he's everywhere, I cannot show him to you. Krishna, are you telling me the truth? Yasoda, long ago, the demigods and the demons had a big fight, and to favor the demigods, the Lord churned the ocean of milk. Krishna, did he churn the way the gopis do? Yasoda, yes, my son, yes, he did. That churning produced poison called Kalakuta. Krishna, Mother, how did churning milk make poison? And snakes have poison. Yasoda, Mahadev drank the Kalakuta and some drops fell from his mouth. And the snakes drank that. And now they also have poison. Krishna, yes, Ma, it's true. Darling, this condensed butter you are seeing in the sky is produced from that Kheer Sagar, and that is why the moon is spotted with remnants of that poison. Look very carefully. Can you see it? Krishna looks up at the moon. Therefore, said his mother, do not try to eat that butter. But please take this freshly churned butter instead. After hearing all this and talking about all of this, and it was a very elaborate conversation, Krishna started to become a little bit sleepy. So Yasoda laid him down very gently in his beautiful golden bed, and on a fluffy, soft mattress, whiter than powdered camphor. The next morning, Yasoda entered Krishna's room and lovingly fondled his body. She said, Wake up! Wake up, my darling, wake up! Oh, my goodness, you seem to be weak from going to bed without eating anything. Krishna opened his eyes and woke up. Yasoda cleaned his mouth with scented water, and then she brought a golden plate full of butter, yogurt, and other delights, and said, Oh, my darling, take whatever you like. Krishna replied, I will not eat anything you have brought me. Last night, you lied to me, and you put me to sleep. And I felt very distressed because of hunger. Isoda smiled and said, if you actually went to sleep, then who stole the butter? Krishna looked at his mother very innocently. When did I steal butter? With his charming, transcendental pastimes, Krishna continuously captivates the heart of Mother Yasoda. Now Krishna got a little bit bigger still, and he started to go out and play with his friends. Before, we should have read these yesterday, except you wouldn't have been in such a transcendental spirit. But before he started cowherding, he was playing more with the calves. So one auspicious day during the rainy season, the calves grazed on the fresh green grass in a beautiful valley beside Govardhan Hill. The jewels and precious stones on the surface of Govardhan Hill radiated a beautiful, wonderful glow. Krishna sat on a throne made of smooth stones by a waterfall flowing with fragrant water from the top of the hill. Enjoying this atmosphere, he was laughing and joking with his friends who were playing a game using some crystal stones and some dark blue sapphires. Then, while pushing and shoving each other, a lightning bolt suddenly flashed out of the clouds. They all looked up. It seemed as though the clouds cast an angry look just to stop the boys from playing. This is the rainy season, so it was likely that rain would follow. Frightened, the boys all ran away. But then they returned to play some more upon regaining their courage. Then the clouds thundered once more, and the boys ran away again. Then, picking up some creepers from the ground, they pretended to beat the clouds in retaliation. The clouds, however, responded by drenching them in a quick spray of rain. At this time, the joyful cowherd boys painted Krishna's body with colored mineral powders, painted his eyebrows, painted his face, and do you know, each boy was able to paint Krishna at the same time. Krishna was not with one and not with the other. He was there for every boy. As his friends surrounded him and happily danced for his pleasure, Krishna smiled very broadly. Then he wandered around Govardhan, performing various pastimes. As Krishna's heart is full of rasa, similarly Govardhan is full of beauty and a wealth of fresh fruits, edible roots, and so forth are available during the rainy season. Krishna relished the sweet, natural taste of the various fruits and roots brought by his intimate friends, whose hearts surged with happiness. Bound by their pure devotion, Krishna eagerly finished all the foodstuffs that they collected for him at Govardhan. With his white teeth shining attractively, as he smiled in satisfaction, Krishna easily stole the heart of every living entity. Krishna's friends quickly prepared his favorite pan, from betel nuts, pure white lime paste, fragrant juice of bananas that smelt like camphor, and other items that they had collected. Thus being served in various ways, Krishna enjoyed his pastimes on Govardhan Hill. Whenever the clouds sprinkled water, the boys took shelter of the caves of Govardhan until the rain stopped. Looking as beautiful as a baby elephant, Krishna and the boys entertained themselves by playing a game of shouting loudly into the back of the cave and laughing at the echo. Vibrating deep, angry sounds, they said, "Who are you? Who are you? What are you saying? What are you saying?" The cave filled with clamor, and the boys continued to shout loudly into the darkness and criticize the echo when it returned in kind. Ordinarily, it is offensive to mistreat a giver of shelter. Yet this irreverent behavior towards the cave of Giriraj did not fault the boys, but embellished them with the ability to please Krishna. Indeed, they blessed the cave by their presence. Meanwhile, outside it appeared that the rain had now stopped, and it was smiling with its teeth of hailstones falling everywhere. Krishna's friends ran outside to pick up the particles of ice and bring them back into the cave. And then, with folded hands as if a push punjali, they offered these hailstones as flowers to Krishna's lotus feet. Then the rain stopped, and Krishna, whose face outshines the beauty of the full moon, and the cowherd boys, overflowing with bliss, all left the cave and ran to the top of Govardhan Hill. Krishna sat peacefully on a beautiful emerald rock that glittered brightly, having just been washed by the rain. His friends fanned him with pure white chamara wisks that filled the air with a pleasing fragrance of musk. Hari, who removes all miseries, sat there in great happiness while gazing at the beauty of the forests of Vrindavan, which appeared like a reflection of his own body. Then, playing the purest notes on his flute, Krishna looked like a blue sapphire pillar standing in the forest as he stood amidst the circle of his fortunate and astonished friends. Krishna twirled the edge of his yellow cloth while admiring the remarkable combination of sky and forest. And then he began to call out the names of his cows in deep, clear syllables. As soon as they heard Krishna's voice, all the cows immediately became stunned and appeared like toy cows. Krishna's jeweled ankle bells chimed sweetly as he strolled gracefully along the plateau. The purifying dust of Vrindavan now covered the lotus feet of Krishna, which are worshipped by the jeweled crowns of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Parvati. Krishna moved in measured steps as he walked slowly behind the cows. And in this way, both Krishna and Balaram, with their friends and the cows, all happily returned to Nandagram. We need some kirtan immediately.